We got Mark Morial, the national president of the Urban League. He is on our live line. Brother Morial, how you doing?
Amos, it's great to hear your voice and good to be with you a few minutes ago with Joe Slash at the Indianapolis Urban League Equal
Mark
Opportunity.
Morial, are you with us?
Hello?
I hear you. Mark Morial, how you doing?
Good. Can you hear me?
I can hear you fine.
Fantastic.
And I know you did. You had great remarks here at the luncheon, and I want to explain to the listeners you're rushing to the airport because your son is playing in a Little League championship back home today?
Yeah, he's playing in a championship game this evening, and I'm really excited. He's 11 years old, and I've got to be there for that. He's a third base, second base, shortstop, does a little pitching, and I'm really excited for him.
He's the whole team, it sounds like.
Yeah, well, you know, at that level, they rotate players. I think it's good because then the boys get a chance to play different positions. So they rotate a lot.
We're with Mark Morial, head of the National Urban League. Let me ask you, you didn't address this in the speech, but this is a big story breaking today. This morning, NBC News, Wall Street Journal poll said that, I believe it was 40%, 41% of Americans say we don't need affirmative action anymore. The Supreme Court, sometime between now and the end of June, will rule on an affirmative action case. How nervous is the Urban League, you, and other members of the National Civil Rights leadership that affirmative action may be ending in this country?
Well, Amos, we are monitoring the court's decisions very closely. We know that the court is considering the issue of affirmative action in higher education admissions, a case from Texas, and the court's also considering the constitutionality, if you will, of Section 5 of the Voting Rights Act. And what we're really faced with is a conservative-leaning Supreme Court. The fact of the matter is we still need affirmative action to assist us in making the nation's institutions of higher education, our colleges and universities, more diverse. It's an important objective. And so we are watching the court, and whenever the court meets and takes up important issues, we're always on pins and needles, not knowing which way the court will rule. But this is not a question of a popularity contest. It's a question of which rights the nation, and whether the nation, in the 21st century, and in the third century of the American Republic, has a very important objective and should have a compelling objective to make our institutions of higher education more equal, less discriminatory, and more diverse.
Mark Morial is. When we look at the latest unemployment figures, it seems with a couple of months where black unemployment spiked in the 14% range, it has been relatively steady in the mid 13% range for the last maybe 1.5 to 2 years, while the overall unemployment rate is slowly dropping. At what point does national black leadership have to come to grips with not only dealing with the Obama administration on this, but starting to prepare for a post-Obama era in terms of figuring out how we reduce this high black unemployment rate?
Well, we continue to encourage the president, the members of Congress, the nation's private sector leaders to focus on this high unemployment problem. Because this high unemployment problem in urban communities, if we brought the unemployment rate down in urban communities, if it was equal to the overall rate, what you'd have is more economic growth. What you'd have is more consumer spending. What you have is a stronger economy for all. And that's the message. It's important. The nation always has an obligation to our most vulnerable citizens. But in this case, bringing that unemployment rate down will help not only the unemployed, but the overall economy. We know that, and we've pushed and encouraged the president. He's offered some ideas. They've been thwarted by filibusters in the Senate and by obstructionism in the House. And so we've got to remember that the focus needs to continue to be on how many of the proposals that have been advanced have not seen the light of day or even a vote in the Congress. And we need that kind of action. Let me give you one example where a big difference could be made if there were a comprehensive summer jobs program for teenagers and young adults. Put them to work, the money would be immediately spent in the economy. It would have a stimulative effect on economic growth. That's just one small example.
We're talking with Mark Morial. One of the and jobs relates to education, and that has been a strong push by the National Urban League as well as the Indianapolis Urban League here. Do we have to change in the African-American community our mindset of how we view and evaluate K through 12 education, not just K through 12, but how we prepare students for post high school education, whether it's colleges and universities, community colleges, or certificates?
I think there has to be an increasing focus on STEM, on science, technology, engineering, and math at a younger age. I think we need a longer school year and a longer school day. I think we need a stronger infrastructure of academic enrichment in the after-school space. There's no doubt we must. The other thing we have to do in our community is we have to be insistent on the value that we are going to ensure that our children are educated. We have to demand it of the schools, but we also have to demand that our children give their best. It's a two-edged thing. We've got to continue to push, encourage on every single front, because a good education is the passport to a better life.
How do we get more teachers of color in the classroom? Because in many school systems, the majority of teachers are white, non-Hispanic, while the enrollment in those schools are increasingly minority.
Well, that's a big question, and it goes to the schools of education. It goes to encouraging people to take on teaching as a career. That's a very significant question. And I think it also involves improving compensation for teachers. People don't like to talk about that, but teaching is competing with all sorts of professions. In many cases, nurses make more than teachers. And if you have people who are making a choice amongst professions, who are taking on debt in order to be able to finish college, then what a profession pays is going to have an impact on the ability of that profession to attract all the talent they need, particularly in the African-American community. But we've got to continue to uphold. You know, you and I remember the day, Amos, when we looked up to our teachers and principals in our community. We have to continue to do that. We've got to encourage more people to embrace teaching as a profession.
Mark Morial, you may have been hearing our introduction as they put you on the line and put you on hold. We've got a case here in Indiana of three public charter schools that were non-performing over a series of years. Ball State University, the sponsor of those charter schools, revoked their charter, but then these schools went around and got two of them turned into private schools, another one adopted by a college. Are school reformers setting up two sets of standards, one set of standards for public schools and the other set that charters can do anything they want to do?
Well, I think when a charter school doesn't make it, it should revert back to a public school, because a charter school is indeed a public school. And the rush towards privatization in many respects in some ways is a move that I'm not certain and I'm not confident is going to yield better educational outcomes for the students. And I think the fact that the charter schools are unsuccessful points to the fact that simply because a school is a charter school does not mean that it's going to automatically perform better than a traditional public school.
We're also talking with Mark Morial. The other thing with school choice, sometimes if a parent chooses to keep their student in a so-called underperforming school, maybe that parent believes that school is working for their kid. Is no choice also a choice?
Well, you know, these are very, very difficult questions that parents have to answer. I think that the most significant thing is that choice is a very appealing word, Amos. But what choice means is that the school closest to their home, the school that's in their neighborhood, isn't the best school. We have to have a commitment to make every school an effective school, every school a good school. Every school should be the best school.
Mark Morial, one final question.
Just arrived here at the airport. I'm about to go through security.
All right, one final question. What is national black leadership doing to start to prepare for a post-Barack Obama era? Because it'll be here before we know it.
Here's what's so important. We learned that when we have high voter turnout, which we did in 2008 and 2012, that the African-American vote influences the outcome of the election on a national basis and in many states. No doubt, no question about that. So what we've got to make sure is that we do not allow voter suppression laws, voter ID laws, apathy and lack of enthusiasm to become the rule for the day. The way we have to prepare is we have to prepare by maximizing and protecting this all-important right to vote and our enthusiasm for participating. And I also believe that we've got to empower. Here in Indianapolis, you've got a great member of Congress, Andre Carson. We've got to empower leaders like Andre Carson to be able to do more, to be able to deliver more, to strengthen their voice, not only here in Indiana, but on a national basis.
Mark Morial, the president of the National Urban League. Have a safe journey
great.
Back
Thank
home.
Thank you for your voice. Thank you for what you do.
And tell your son good luck. He'll win just like IU will win in baseball.
Thank you.
We're live. Thank you, Mark Morial. We're live from the Indiana Convention Center. It is Afternoons with Amos for a Tuesday.